Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon today is from Amos chapter 8. You know, memory is a funny thing, isn't it? It's a funny thing in what you remember and what you don't. How sometimes I can remember the most trivial facts and then not be able to remember what I had for breakfast in the morning. You know, I'm sure that you've noticed that sometimes even a smell can bring back certain memories and thoughts. The other day I was washing dishes, and immediately I thought of camping. And I didn't realize it until I looked down and saw the particular kind of soap that I was using, that is the same kind of soap that we have in our camping supplies. You know, memory is a funny thing. You know, the Bible talks about memory, and it talks about memory with God also. In Genesis, after the flood, God set his rainbow across the skies to remind him of his promise never to flood the entire earth again. And God makes a covenant with Abraham, and he promises to remember this covenant. And in Exodus 2, when Israel is held captive with the Egyptians, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and brought them out into their own land. And the Lord makes another covenant with his people at Sinai. And he gives them his laws and his statutes. We hear about also in Leviticus 26 that there's a warning for those who would turn their back on the Lord's ways. But the Lord says he will remember his covenant with his people if they confess their sins, and he will forgive them. And sacrifices are continually spoken of throughout Leviticus. It's being offered up as pleasing aromas to God. They remind him of his promises. But Yahweh's own people chose to forget him. They said, ignorance is bliss. They decided they were going to do their own thing. God's own nation split in two between north and south, Israel and Judah. How quickly the northern kingdom forgot the way of the Lord. And as we learn from Amos this morning, instead of showing mercy to the poor, they robbed them in the marketplace by tipping the scales in their favor and selling them the stuff that should be swept up and thrown away. And instead of honoring the Lord's day, they say, when will the Sabbath be over so we can sell more grain? Maybe if they hear today, they would say something along the lines of, when will Sunday service be over so I can go do what I really want to do, which is make money? Or, when can I get out of here so I can go see the football game? And get out of this place. They chose to forget what it was all about. Instead of offering pleasing aromas to God, their rebellion burns in the nostrils of God. It stunk to high heavens. And the issue here is not that they just started sinning. They had always done that. No, the problem is that they didn't see any need to confess anymore. They didn't see any need to repent. They needed to be reminded to repent. And the Lord has some strict words in this reading this morning. The Lord says that his judgment is coming and he will not forget their sins. This is serious stuff. These are hard words to hear. And they're hard words for us to hear as well. but they're words that are needed. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what sin leads to, about how our sin is not a pleasing aroma to God. It's stinky business. Sin has a stench. You cannot just spray it away with some Febreze. It's the stench of death and judgment. Death stinks, literally. And like people of Amos' day, whenever we get a whiff of death, we are reminded of our sin and unrighteousness. So what came of Israel? You know, by the end of Amos' prophecy, the Lord prophesies that he will once again restore Israel. And in the New Testament, we hear about how he prepared through Israel one who would be righteous in all things. He was not deterred by the stench of death in Lazarus' tomb, or the widow's son at Nain, or Jairus' daughter. He met it, and he raised them from the dead. And it all led up to the point where he himself faced death and took on the world's stench of sin and death and turned it into the most pleasing aroma before God. In Ephesians 5:2, he himself has become the fragrant offering to God for us. He did it as the ultimate sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. The Lord God raised Jesus from the dead in order to give forgiveness and life to you and to me. And God's promise is in continual remembrance because Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he continues to intercede for us day and night. For his blood has purchased and won us. And this righteousness has all been poured out upon you. The Lord cleanses you of the stink of your sin in the waters of baptism. In those waters you have been washed clean and covered with the aroma of Christ, so that God now smells that fragrant offering of Christ over you. He is reminded of Christ when he looks at you. He remembers his promises of Christ when he sees you. And so now when you pray, your prayers are also like fragrant incense that rises before the Lord because he remembers Christ. And this fragrance is also a reminder for you. For when you are reminded of how truly broken this world is, when the world presses in on you, when you are reminded of your past faults and your misdeeds, the time when you forgot what this whole church thing was really about, know that the Lord is reminded of Jesus, fragrant offering for you. That pleasing aroma reminds our Lord God of his gracious and merciful promise to give you life. And that fragrance continues to go out. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." The Lord uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, where we work and where we play and where we're gathered with friends and family. That fragrant offering is in the air. As we live in the continual remembrance of who Jesus is for us. And in this meal that you are about to have, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And as you're reminded of the smells of the wine and the bread for you. But you see, it's not just a simple cognitive exercise where that thinks that Jesus is gone and far removed from us, and that it's our job to then remember him. No, this is a lived, full kind of remembrance. As Paul says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? Jesus promises that he is here in this meal. His very body and blood in with and under that bread and wine for us to eat and drink as his true presence for us, for you. And he gives his very body and blood for you to eat and drink as he brings you into his life, into his death, and into his resurrection from the dead, his forgiveness of sins. And in this eating and drinking, you are brought into living remembrance of who Jesus is for you today. So may this remembrance be with you now and always, not only on the times when we are gathered here, but at all times. May the aroma of Christ so fill up your lives, saturated by his word, that you can scarcely forget who our Lord is for you. But know this, even when you forget in your minds not to think of your Lord, he has not forgotten you in Christ. For Christ is that continual aroma that is pleasing to God that has been placed over you. Amen.